This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
I want to preach to you on the books that are in heaven. Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 10. Daniel 7, verse number 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, watch this next phrase, and the what? Book singular or books plural? And the books were opened. Now I want you to flip to the back of your Bible in the book of Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 12. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 20, and verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, which is, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the, what? Books. According to their works. My brothers and my sisters, in our passages that we have read, we have been elevated into the glorious scenes of eternity. We have been ushered past the gates of pearl. We have gone beyond the clear crystal sea. We've gone to the center of the city. There in the center of the city, our heavenly Ancient of Days, the glorious God of all that is. The Bible says that He calls the angel over and He says, "Bring me the books." And the judgment that is rendered upon man, woman, boy, and girl is done according to the books. Now, if you've been like me in most church services, there's only one book that's ever talked about in heaven, the Lamb's Book of Life. But here in our passages, we are let into a little secret, and that is in heaven, there is not one book, but there are plural books. What are these books? What do these books say? I imagine if I could gather everything about these books, we would be so blessed that it would take all of eternity to wrap our minds around it. But brothers and sisters, tonight what you've got to understand is I don't believe the Bible tells us everything that's in heaven. In fact, the Bible tells us less about eternity than it does about the 3 days that Jesus was in the tomb. Now wrap your mind around that. Why would God not tell us everything about heaven? Because like they said about Brother Solomon, the half has not been told. It is not possible to wrap your mind around everything that will take place in heaven. It isn't possible to wrap your mind around what your eternal home's going to be like. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, if we were to be able to go out of our atmosphere, if we were able to ascend out of our galaxy and we were able to find where this glorious city of God is, far beyond the Milky Way and far beyond the galaxies and far beyond the universe, and go to the very outreaches of the 93 billion light years that we call the observable universe, if we were to somehow in some way take our earthly bodies and go into the center of the city, If there was some way possible that you and I could tiptoe in without being noticed by the guards, if there was some way that you and I could make our way past all the glories and not be trapped by all the beauty around us, if you and I could somehow find a way not to be distracted by mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and the loved ones that are there, the people that would call our name, if you and I could somehow get to the center of that city, there in the center of that city would be a grand and glorious building called the Public Library of Heaven. And in that Public Library of Heaven, you would go in, you would ascend up the grand staircase there, make your way down the colonnaded ceremonial hallways of that glorious building. And as you would go into that building, you would make your way, thinking there would be case upon case upon case of books. You would be shocked to find that there are only four. The Bible only tells us that in that grand, glorious library in heaven, there are only four books. And in those four books, there is a great blessing. In modern history, Google tells us that there have been printed in modern history over 130 million books. They tell us that the oldest book that is in full form today, that has never been separated, is what's called the Etruscan Gold Book. It is over 2,450 years old in solid form. We know that there are writings older than that, but they have been separated and they've been broken. But the oldest book is the Etruscan Golden Book. But beloved, I'm telling you, there is a book and a set of books that's even older than all of those. The Bible doesn't talk a lot about them, but what it does say about them is enough to make a Presbyterian do a backflip, turn over, and become Pentecostal before their feet hit the ground. And what you'll find out about what we're going to read in just a moment, about the four books that God tells us about, is that there is something special. I want you to write these books down if you can. The first book is what I would call a conglomeration of two books. You first find the very first book that we have is what is called the Book of Living or the Book of Life. The Book of the Living or the Book of Life. We read about this book in one of the very first Psalms. And David talks about it, but he only does it one time. In Psalm chapter number 69, verse number 28, in Psalm 69 and verse number 28, David says this. He says, "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous." We find there that is the only time in all the Old Testament that this book is ever written or ever talked about or ever mentioned. But here's what we find out about that book. We find out that it is a book where righteous men and women are written in. The only way to get yourself in that book is to make sure that you are among the righteous. To make sure that you are among those that have had their names recorded by the royal blood of the Lamb. Now, watch this. In the Old Testament, it's only talked about one time, and it's called the Book of the Living. But when you get to the New Testament, it's referred to seven times, and it's never called the Book of the Living. It's called the Book of Life. It takes a transition somewhere, and it goes from being called the Book of the Living, and now it's called the Book of Life. Let me give you a verse on this if I can. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 3. In Philippians 4 and verse number 3, the Apostle Paul says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my fellow laborers, whose name are in the book of life." Now here's what you need to understand. The only way to get in that is not to be a man or not to be a woman. The only way to have your name written in that book is to be saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's what you've got to understand. This is one lesson that you got to watch, and you got to watch it in the words. In the Old Testament, it's called the Book of the Living, but in the New Testament, it's called the Book of Life. The idea of living, it has the idea of existing. But when you think about the word life, you're thinking about that which is growing, that which is vibrant, that which is alive, that which is moving, that which is working. Now here is my question. In the Old Testament, it's called the Book of Life or the Book of Existence. But in the New Testament, it's called the Book of Growing and Excitement and Growth. Here's my question. What has changed from the Old Testament to now in the New Testament? It's not referred to in the Gospels. It's not referred to in Acts. But when you get into those epistles and you get into those letters to the Book of the Revelation, you all of a sudden start hearing about it again. What has changed from the Old Testament and now has happened in the New Testament? Well, a little thing happened there on the backside of Calvary, there on the backside of Jerusalem, on a little scully hill called Golgotha, the loving Lamb of God. He gave His life on top of that hill. He died for you and He died for me, and He gave His life so that you and I no longer had to just exist, but we could live and have life and have it more abundantly. Now watch this. That's why in Revelation 21 and verse 27, the very last time you see this book, it is referred to in Revelation 21 and 27. It says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that devileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." What happened to take it from living to life? The only thing that can take somebody from existing to growing, and that is the Lamb. I found a little phrase, and I'm thinking about quoting it. I'm looking to get into a social media war this week. Somebody pray for me. And here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm telling you. What I'm thinking about saying is this. You will not find life in a donkey, and you won't find it in an elephant, but you will find it in a lamb. That which takes you from living to life is the Lamb of God, and that's why it's referred to as the Lamb's Book of Life. What's in there? Are you ready? The names of every righteous person that's ever lived. The Bible says this, that we are seated together in heavenly places. You know how you are already in heaven? Your name, if you are saved, is already written in a physical, literal heaven right now. Right now. Now watch this. If you are not saved, you will be judged off of one book. You know what book that is? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the first book opened. And I'm asking you, if you've never been born again, that you may trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. You call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. The first book you'll find in heaven is the Lamb's Book of Life. The second book that you find in heaven, it's called the Book of the Law. The Book of the Law is the second book you find in heaven. This is this book you hold in your hand. The book that you hold in your hand, the Bible, that word, the Book of the Law, it's referred to as a bunch of different things. It's referred to as the Book of the Covenant. It's referred to as the Book of the Law of Moses. It's referred to as the Law of Moses. It is referred to as the Book of the Lord. It's referred to as the Word of God. It's referred to as the Word of the Lord. It's referred to as the Prophets. It's referred to as the Psalms. It is referred to as the Writings of Joshua. It is referred to, but it is the Word of God. Do you know right now, there is in heaven a stone copy of the Word of God. Right now in heaven, this book is there. Now, of all the books that we'll talk about tonight, this book is the most important. Can I give you a verse that I pray you'll never forget in Psalm 138, verse number 2? Psalm 138, verse number 2. David said, I will worship toward thy holy temple, and I will praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Watch this. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Can I tell you right now, how many of you would willingly take the name of the Lord in vain? Not if you got a brain, you wouldn't. How many of you would purposely cuss God's name? How do you treat this book? What do you do with this book when it goes home? I'll tell you, I've been under conviction before in my younger preaching days about how I would flippantly come in and throw my Bible, or how I would leave it in my car, or how it would do this. You realize that this book is more important than the name of Jesus Christ. This book has been elevated above the name of God Almighty. You realize that the Bible says this book is the only book we're to seek after? Listen to what this verse says in Isaiah chapter number 34 and verse number 16. Isaiah 34 and verse number 16. Watch what the Bible says. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered. Now brothers and sisters, listen to me. How much do you yearn after this Bible? Right now in heaven, there's a cacophony of angels that shout and sing all day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But in heaven, there is still one thing more wonderful than the name and person of God. He says, it is my word. May God convict us on how we treat this precious book. Of all the things that you could read, do you yearn after the Bible? Do you yearn for the book? I hate juice. I hate apple juice. I hate orange juice. I hate prune juice. I hate tomato juice. I hate thick juice. I hate thin juice. I hate all juice. I despise all juice. I don't care what kind. I hate lemon juice, lemonade juice. I don't like any juice. I've been researching here lately on doing a juice fast for a couple of weeks. Spend some time with the Lord. You know what they'll tell me? If you ever research these fasts, you know what they say? The only way you'll ever survive on a juice fast or any fast is you got to get rid of the Coke, the Pepsi, the Dr. Pepper, and all those soft drinks. My wife would die. She would utterly die, and she would probably kill all of us in the process of it. You know, this book is a lot like that. When you're so sugared up on everything else in the world, you'll never yearn for the pureness of the book. You don't ever want milk when all you drink is Coke. But when you cut that mess out of your life, you'll drink just about anything pure. And that's this book. That's the other book that's in heaven. I'm trying to get somewhere to this last book. I want to show you a book in a second. The third book that's in heaven is the book of seals. The book of seals, this is the book that is found in the book of Revelation chapter 5 and 6. Now this book is the shortest book of all the books in heaven. It's only 7 chapters. But the Bible says this book is wrapped in 7 seals. And I've always never really understood what that means. And I think, Heather, do I have a picture of that, a 7-sealed book? The way a 7-sealed book is, the most important roll would be in the center, and they would seal it. Then they would wrap another scroll around it, and they would seal that. Then they would wrap another seal around it and seal that until they got to 7 seals. Now, the reason that they would do a 7-sealed book is because that inner thing, that inner writing, was meant to go to someone of the utmost importance. The only one that was worthy of breaking 7 seals was the one that the writing was written to. Now, this book is one of 2 books that's going to be read on the earth. The book of the law is read right now by man, but the book of the seals is going to be read in Revelation 5 and 6 by the Lord Jesus. The Bible says the angel looks up to heaven and they're crying because this 7-sealed book, the angel says, "Who is worthy to open the book?" And they look up and, honey, this is a verse. I'm going to preach on this if God will ever let me one day. It says in Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 4, I love this phrase. It says, "Weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root and offspring of Jesse, he hath prevailed." My God in heaven, he hath prevailed. That very first time, they would not even, now you listen to this, that very first time, Lord God, I'm going to get off on something right here. That very first time, he was in that synagogue in Nazareth, and they would not even let him read Isaiah chapter number 61. They said, "We're going to stone him for even saying that it was him." But when you get to Revelation chapter number 5, they look up and that seven sealed book that's been in the library of heaven, unread, untouched for all these years, they're going to pull that out and the angels are going to weep and they're going to say, "Who is worthy to break these seals?" And one of those old preacher boys is going to stand up one day and they're going to say, "Weep not, honey, for I found me a man that's worthy. He's not just any man. He's a God man. He's a Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's a root and offspring of David. It's the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy to break the seals." And 7 seals are going to protrude out of that. The coming of the Antichrist is going to proceed out of that. Wars and famines and martyrdom and all types of anarchy. And the 7th seal, there's silence in heaven for the space of 30 minutes. No sound is made for 30 minutes at the breaking of that last seal. Now, there's another book, the 4th book that I want to give you. And this is where I want to hang out for just about 35 seconds. If you believe that you're visiting, I can obviously tell that. I want to hang out here for just a second. The 4th book, it's called the Book of Remembrance. The Book of Remembrance. This is in Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 16. Now, are you ready to be blessed? Because this is the one that started this whole thing. I'm going to try to get through this. But there's a book in heaven that God's been personally writing in Himself. It's called the Book of Remembrance. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 16. Listen to what the Bible says. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him." Now, what is this? Here's what this is. Come in close, beloved. In the ancient days, kings would have a book of records written. And the book of records, it would be service rendered to the king so that he made sure proper rewards were given. There's a story about this in the book of Esther. Do you remember the book of Esther? After all of it's over, Ahasuerus gets to the end. The king there, Xerxes, he gets to the end. This is what he says. He says, "Bring me the book." And they bring to him the book and he says, "Read." And it talks about how Mordecai saved him from the conspiracy. And Ahasuerus says to him, he says, "Has anything been done to Mordecai?" And they say, "No, king." And he says, "You bring him in here. Put the robe on him. Put the ring on him. Put the crown on him." That was a book of remembrance. What is written in this book of remembrance in heaven? There's 3 things. Write them down. Number 1, the records of your faithfulness is written down in God's book of remembrance. I tell this to people all the time. God doesn't want your talent. God doesn't want your gift. God wants your faithfulness. God is not after what you can do for Him. God just wants you to be faithful to Him. He said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? What's the point? What's the point of telling and being faithful? Are you ready? Every time you do what you're supposed to do, God writes it down. Every time you're supposed to sing and you don't feel like singing, and you're weary, and you stand up and you sing, God says, angel, bring me my pen, and bring me my book. Every day when you go to the office and they're over there telling dirty jokes and you not participating in that, and they say, come on over here, listen to this, and you say, no, I'm a Christian. I don't believe in that. I don't do that. You know what the angels in heaven do? The people down here, they look at you and they say, what a killjoy, what a this or what a that. But God himself, he says, give me the pen and write that down in the book of remembrance. Every time you don't feel like people are with you, every time you feel like you're wasting time, God says, come here. Bring me the book. Bring me the book. He writes it. Every time you go to teach a little child, God says, bring me the book. Mama, every night you get up in the middle of the night with a little sick child and you say, I'm done. Something says, I got to keep going. You know what God does? God says, bring me the book. Every time that old dog you're married to comes in and says, where's my supper? You say, honey, I'm trying. God says, bring me the book. Sir, every morning when you get up to go to work to provide for your family, you know what God does? God says, bring me the book. And every day God writes in that book, every act, every moment, every second, that you were faithful when you didn't feel like being faithful, and you were dependable when you didn't feel like being dependable. God looks at the angel and he says, stop writing and bring me the book. What book? Book of remembrance. Second thing that's written in that book, it's not just a record of your faithfulness, but it's a record of your service. Will you look at this verse in the book of Matthew, chapter number 10, verse number 42. I want to pull this up for you. In Matthew chapter 10, verse number 42, do you remember what the Lord Jesus said? He said, and whosoever shall give unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You know what Jesus said? If you just so much as give a cold glass of water in my service, you'll get a reward for that. How does God remember all that? You know what he does? He writes it in a book. Daniel, every time you get up, you run those long nights. Leslie, trying to take care of your family, and you prepare those lessons. You get that snack together. And you're weary and you're tired. You say, why? The kids run in, all they want is a candy, and they run out. And you leave and no mama says thank you, no daddy says thank you. All they want to do is whine because you give their kids cavities. Mine got three, thank you very much. You get in your car and you say, what's the use? You know what the use is? In the heaven, God's says, angel, bring me the book. Every time God writes it. God writes it. God writes every act. Every time you sing, every person you witness to, every time you do something for the Lamb of God, it doesn't go unnoticed. God says, bring me the book. We all get frustrated. We all get weary. But you know why we don't give up? Because everything we do, God's keeping record of it in his book. There's a third thing that I want to show you here, and I touched on it for a half a second this morning. The third thing in that book of remembrance, there's a record of your tears. Now I want to give you a verse in Psalm 56 and verse number 8. I read it a little bit this morning. Now I want to show you something. I prayed God the Holy Ghost let you get this. In Psalm 56 in verse number 8, this morning, remember what I said? Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears in thy bottle. But watch what the rest of the verse says. Are they not in thy book? Now, why would God put our tears in a bottle and write them in a book? Think about it. When you put liquid drops together, do they stay separate or do they come together? They come together. Therefore, when you pour out that offering to God, you're not going to be able to tell how many tears you shed. By that time, when you get to heaven, you know what God's going to do? He's going to say, angel, bring me the book. And God has in His book, now watch this, every tear singularly recorded that you've ever shed for God. God wouldn't do that. Don't tell me that He's the same God that numbers the hairs on our head. He's the same God that numbers and knows the stars by name. He's the same God that can't even look at a mockingbird flying across the sky, falling from the air. He's the same God that decorates every lily, tulip, and rose in the field. And every tear that you've ever cried. I'm not talking every time you cried. I'm talking every single tear. God said, angel, get your pen and start counting. Now you tell me your God doesn't care about you. The devil tells you God's not listening to your prayers. You're telling me that a God that counts how many tears you cry and writes them in a book doesn't care about you? Beloved, the very God of eternity is so broken when you're broken that He says, angels, come here. I don't want anybody to forget what they're crying over. All those nights of being by yourself. All those days you weep over a lost loved one. All those moments when you feel like it's worthless and you're worthless, God says, I'm here, youngin'. I wonder. I don't know, boys, but I wonder if we couldn't tune our ears close enough to hear the quill go across the page as God counts every individual tear that we cry. Tell me God doesn't care. Who else do you know that will sit there and watch you cry and count the tears that fall from your tear ducts? And He does it for every one of us. The book's in heaven. The book of remembrance is the most precious. Now the book of the law is the most powerful. The book of life is the most pertinent. And the book of the seals, that's the one that's going to do the most damage. If you have never been saved by the grace of God, and you've never called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, tonight is a real good night. You don't have to go through all that judgment. You don't have to go through all of that. The Lord Jesus calls unto you. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And tonight, you leave this place and you walk out those doors into a rainstorm, knowing that the God that created you loves you immeasurably more than you could ever imagine. Hears every prayer you pray. Records every act of service you do for the King. And takes note every time you do what you're supposed to do. Our God is a good God. Our Lord is a good Lord. Our Savior is a good Savior. And He wants to be yours tonight.